22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, it's about empowering you. That's what we're going to do. Magical Engineer Frank is ready. There he is. And thanks for joining us on the American Radio Voice, the American Voice Radio Network. Isn't that right? American Voice. American Voice. It's, you know, it's a good thing. It's alternative news. It's where you hear a lot of stuff. What? I'm sorry. I got to be corrected. AVRN.TV. Yep. AVRN.TV. American Voice Radio Network TV. Right, Frank? Okay. I got it. Yep. All right. How many years have I been here with you? Still blowing that? Oh, well, we're never perfect. No. Well, we got a great show. Decades. Frank says I've been here decades. Well, we have a great show. We're going to be talking, we've got a quack report for the first part of the show. We're going to be talking about ginkgo. And is it good for dementia or not? Let's see what the medical science says. And we do have a quack report, but before we get to all that good stuff, a big salute and Semper Fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face. Hope you are too. Mind the time. It goes short. So today's devotional puts us in Romans 14. And verse 16, it said, "Let not that your good be spoken evil of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in those things serves Christ and is acceptable to God and approved of men. So let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." Yeah, let's edify one another. Let's encourage one another and bless one another. And that is the way. And without further ado, let's do a quack report. Thanks, Mike. Okay, we got a lot here in the Quack Report that has to do with the COVID vaccine. Vax is reporting U.S. is planning, obviously, to ship approved coronavirus vaccines the day after the FDA gives the green light. Now, what's wrong with that? I mean, what? Think about it now. The day after the FDA says it's approved, they can ship hundreds of thousands, even millions of doses? What does that tell you? That tells you they are manufacturing the product before it's approved in mass. They're, you know, so federal health officials said September 16th that the U.S. government is planning to ship out any coronavirus vaccines within 24 hours of approval by the regulators. So if that is the case, that means the approval has been given in advance before the clinical trials are completed in order to manufacture and stockpile the shipments. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? Moving along in the Quack Report, the coronavirus vaccine trial subjects are reporting some events, including extreme exhaustion, shortness of breath, headaches, a fever, shaking. So this is reports on the vaccine trials, the human vaccine trials conducted by Moderna and Pfizer, producing some events, quote, high fever, body aches, headaches, and exhaustion, and some of the symptoms of participants in the Moderna and Pfizer coronavirus vaccine trial say they felt these after receiving the shot. And one volunteer, 44-year-old computational biologist in Utah, he's in the Moderna phase three of the trial, Mr. Hutchinson. He says, quote, after getting the first shot August 18th, he said he felt a little under the weather for several days with a low-grade fever. He got his second shot at the clinic on Saturday, on September 15th, and then 8 hours later, he said he was in bed. He was bedbound with fever over 101, shakes, chills, pounding headache, shortness of breath. He said he had pain in his arm where he received the shot. He says it felt like a goose egg on his shoulder, and he said he experienced what he calls full-on COVID-like symptoms. Well, what have I said? You know, vaccine doesn't protect you from disease. It gives you the disease. Hello? Last but not least in the Quack Report, on these human clinical trials for COVID-19 vaccine, some of the participants have had some very common vaccine injury events called myelitis. Makers of the front-runner COVID-19 vaccine, AstraZeneca, and also Oxford University were quick to downplay illness that caused their clinical trials in five countries to come to a screeching halt early in September. However, the condition of the transverse myelitis patients, which is a fairly common reaction to vaccine injury. It's serious. It's not. It's common and it's serious. The vaccine is being developed with $1.2 billion in American tax dollars and $750 million from two global health organizations backed by the Bill Gates Foundation. After the UK participant in the trial was given a second dose of the vaccine, this person experienced very serious adverse events called transverse myelitis, or TM. And it's associated with muscle weakness, paralysis, pain, problems with the bladder and the bowels. Two-thirds of those who have it will remain permanently disabled. AstraZeneca suggested that the two participants who developed these conditions could have been a coincidence. So the British Health Secretary said that the decision to restart the trial was good news, that he said, and it was certainly true for AstraZeneca because they saw their stock share price rebound in the marketplace because it dropped when they shut down the clinical trials. Money answereth all things. There you go. Well, always do your homework on these things. That's what I've been saying. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we are going to be talking about ginkgo a little bit. I'm so sick of the COVID thing. Just scream about it. But we're going to talk about ginkgo biloba. You've heard about ginkgo, Frank, right? Yeah, I think a lot of people have. It's for memory. That's what people say, isn't it? For memory. Well, you know, a lot of people say, well, will it help people with dementia and Alzheimer's and stuff like that? Good question. And, you know, I've been reading for many years studies pro and con for ginkgo, you know. So the debate over whether your ginkgo is beneficial at preventing or improving memory or dementia, you know, these cases, you know, it has gone on for decades in the medical science area. So many studies have been really conducted, and the studies maybe used small groups, and then they kind of denied the effectiveness of the herb. Small groups, small offering, just really isn't enough for a real clinical trial, but enough to give you doubt and cite coincidence to conclude that, you know, more research needs to be done on the herb and that the evidence shows that ginkgo is not beneficial with regards to vascular memory or cognitive issues. So small trials tend to be doing things like that. So we're going to see if ginkgo is beneficial, you know, as beneficial as the ancient civilizations in the East actually proclaimed, because, you know, the Asian continent loves the ginkgo. All right, so let's look at the ginkgo tree for just a sec. Our ginkgo tree has a very long history. Lots of fossils with the leaves from the ginkgo tree have been preserved, and its leaves are, you know, and the tree dates back thousands of years, and the leaf is very distinctive. It kind of looks like a little fan. So it's been written about in Chinese literature in the ancient texts, and that fan-like leaf really has this stunning green in the warm spring and warm months, and then it turns this beautiful yellow in the fall, very pretty. So it's known as the maidenhair tree, that's what it's called, and like the olive tree, it's very resilient and very tolerant, and it lives a long time, 3,000 years, like the olive trees. Yeah. So urban planners, Well, I mean, really, hundreds of years, thousands of years, it's an amazing tree, Frank. So urban planners often select the male species of the ginkgo tree because it avoids the messy fruit. The female has the fruit. And it's a very fast-growing tree, and it looks pretty on street-line walks due to the beauty of the leaf. And also, it's a very successful tree to transplant. It grows fast, and it takes well. So that's why you see them. They have them down where I just moved from, Huntersville. They have them in shopping centers. You know, they place them along the sidewalks. Well, we're going to look at this study that was in the Journal of Pharmaceutical Healthcare and Sciences. This was published in 2015, this report, and it was looking at ginkgo. And it was looking into the question if ginkgo has any benefits for dementia cases. So the researchers were using what are called meta-analyses, which is really looking at a lot of previous studies on the ginkgo to determine its benefits. So they were looking at a bunch of studies, and they wanted to get, you know, fairly good-sized studies to look at. So in addition to the dementia question, the researchers also wanted to answer the question to verify if ginkgo was safe, if it was efficient in any of the human treatments people were using it for. So the researchers looked at, get this, over 298 studies already done on ginkgo in medical science research. But they needed parameters. You know, they needed to, you know, set some guidelines, and they wanted to pull studies that were fitting the guidelines so they can make those determinations. So this is what you call a meta-analysis. So they out of the 298 studies, they only chose 13 studies that met the criteria, which was using ginkgo biloba extract with a study duration of 52 weeks using similar parameters. Now, the thing about studies is, you know, they can use different parts of the plant, they can use different dosing, they can use different subjects, human or animal. So they needed some parameters that matched in order to go through the statistical analysis of it all. So the study was also showed, they wanted to see also the risk factor using ginkgo, you know, and was it about the same as a placebo? So that's what it showed, actually. I'll kind of, you know, spoiler alert. The study did show that your risk of using ginkgo was about the same as if you used a placebo, so there's really no risk involved. So what they did determine with the meta-analysis is that all patients using ginkgo in the studies pretty much had an overall 95% positive change in favor of the ginkgo compared to the placebo. So apparently there were benefits from using it. So the studies included patients with things like vascular dementia, mixed dementia, mild dementia, and even Alzheimer's disease. So lots of different categories of dementia out there. We've talked about that before. So they were looking at a very broad swath of dementia issues. So the studies included patients with the vascular dementia, the mixed dementia, mild dementia, and Alzheimer's, and they concluded that when the patients used in the studies 240 milligrams of ginkgo biloba extract per day, it had a safe and effective benefit. So the studies noted in the criteria for observation an improvement in memory, improvement in the lack of concentration, so they were better concentrating. They improved in, if they were depressed, the patients a lot of times get depressed. They can't remember things. They get depressed. Improved that. It improved also dizziness or vertigo issues, as well as the ringing in the ears, tinnitus. So ginkgo is used for that as well. So here's a quote from the Journal of Pharmaceutical Health Care and Sciences. They put the ginkgo biloba extract is classified as a therapeutic agent for dementia by the German E-Commission, and it is sold over the counter, end of quote. Yeah, the German E-Commission is kind of equivalent to our FDA over here. So obviously the Germans are really into herbs a lot. Some of it's sold over the counter, some of it's prescribed, but the Germans seem to really like the herbs. They're one of the European Union countries, Frank, so yeah, I can't ship anything there. You know, everything's kind of a lockdown. All right, well, let's look at the nutritional benefits, because the many, many scientific studies that sing the praises of ginkgo's, they talk about its flavonoids and other active ingredients, yet they are kind of puzzled. Medical science is puzzled as to how these compounds deliver the benefits. And in many reports, is thought that, you know, the ginkgo helps by acting as an antioxidant and improving oxygen blood flow to the brain, improves the blood viscosity, offers antioxidants to help detox, and also anti-inflammatory action is thought to also improve your memory, you know, because you're nourishing the brain cells and you're offering microcirculation benefit to them. So when you remove the toxins and you put the nutrients in the system, the body is really able to regenerate and heal itself. And science has already discovered that your brain continues to make brain cells, and it also makes its own stem cells. Yeah. So ginkgo is also known to help with things like headaches and anxiety. It's a good thing to know, isn't it? So using herbs for memory will improve also your circulation, which improves your oxygen to the brain, which improves the chemical activity, which improves the electrical impulses, which improves your thought and memory. That's wonderful. Let me read you another quote from the Journal of Pharmaceutical Health Care and Sciences. They say, taking 240 milligrams daily dose of ginkgo biloba extract is effective and useful in improving the symptoms in the treatment of dementia. Previous reports have demonstrated these findings in meta-analysis, and the evidence for efficiency and safety were found that the effects of ginkgo lobelia extract contributes to knowledge of the safe treatment for dementia. So they efficiency and safety, they pretty much cleared the herb to be safe and efficient, and well, I already knew that, but science needed to know that. Well, let's look at some causes for memory loss real quick. Aside from your age and other factors that could contribute to memory loss, like stress and anxiety, sleep deprivation, depression, trauma, They all contribute to experiencing at least short-term memory problems, but long-term memory loss can be also from drug use and, like I mentioned, trauma. So drugs can be both recreational and prescribed. So cardiovascular disease seems to be also one of the biggest contributors to memory loss because your cardiovascular drugs, as we said, statin drugs, you know, have, short-term memory loss built into them kind of thing. Well, they do. Well, let's look at the cholesterol drugs. They kind of wipe out your cholesterol and, you know, that's your brain uses that. Well, let's look at some drugs. Now, one of the drugs that was listed for creating memory loss is called histone adenylate inhibitor, or HDACI for short, which is an anti-cancer agent. They often use it on for cancer treatments. And the drug interferes with the function of histone deacylase, which is an enzyme and an amino acid that's responsible for your gene regulation in your body. So what's really important to understand is that modern scientific medicine is doing a bit of guessing in manipulating these brain chemicals with the drugs they're using. So the inhibitor drugs also influence a transcription in many of the biological processes. So it seems that science is really not sure if this histone deacylase inhibitor influences any specific or global gene expression throughout your body, not just in your brain. So when the drug is given, science is saying it's influencing multiple levels of gene transcription control, and this process changes your DNA and its ability to control the accessibility and regulatory factors throughout your system. Now, the main target for this drug is amino acids, which are thought to kind of wipe out memories, and it seems to be irreversible. So a lot of people, you know, get on chemo drugs and they get what they call chemo brain, where they get foggy and they can't think and remember. There's also a question as to if the drug can influence intelligence between the research studies done on it. The drug has this negative consequence for gene transcription, and it implies the drug will have other side effects, which the patient will have to bear the burden of and suffer the results. So the drug kind of messes with your enzymes and your amino acids, which are involved in particular balances offering a regulatory action of gene expression involved in developing processes and the state of the disease itself, cancer. So it's trying to address that, but it's also got this side effect. And science seems a bit concerned that their drug may cause unforeseen changes as a result of a domino effect, if you will. Now, according to the U.S. Library of Medicine and National Institute of Health, the drug may alter functions of regulatory key genes, altering additional DNA. So this big question really needs to be addressed in science because medicine intends to use these drugs to treat a variety of disorders. And the research just using mice, they say it approved the drug actually deletes genes affecting the development and psychological functions of the brain. Yet science looks forward to exploiting this drug and treating other various human diseases with it. So, you know, it's up to us to protect our minds. Science isn't going to do it. There are many things that can rob us of mind function. And if memory is becoming an issue, or if you know someone that's on the road to, they're on prescription drug therapies that may be causing the memory loss or causing dementia symptoms, well, they may want to look into ginkgo. It may be that mighty herb that's the game changer for them. And I like to use ginkgo for memory, and I like to pair it with rosemary and hot cayenne because it gives it extra power in the brain. You got to have that power to get to the brain itself. So circulation has to be an element that you must consider if you want to use ginkgo to improve memory function. So you might want to check out the brain concentrate formula the folks at Apothecary Herbs have. It's an organic professional strength formula. It's a whole food formula. And it has a bit of cayenne in it, so you can put it in juice or water if you don't like the cayenne. A little tomato juice, spice it up, but you won't notice it's there. And this is a professional grade formulation, so check it out. Powerherbs.com is their web address. If you want to check it out, you can type in brain concentrate in the search box and get to that item. Or you can give them a call. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Their local number is 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972. And the powerherbs.com, of course, is the web address, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. So take the power back. If your mind can get sick and you have memory loss, doesn't mean it's, you know, irreversible. That's not what it means. So don't accept those doom and gloom prognoses. I always like, well, if you got sick, you can get unsick. That's how I look at it. I got to take a little break here, but we're going to be empowering you some more on the other side. So we got lots to talk about, so don't go anywhere. Be right back.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country who all began to dream the same dream. When the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country."
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Kidney Stone Formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free. 866-229-3663 or online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663 or on the web at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
We're back here on Herb Talk, and Frank is spinning the tunes there. Okay, we're going to be talking about bladder disease, because it's on the rise, and Procter & Gamble and all those other companies that make adult diapers are, you know, raking it in. But let's see if we can't do something about it, right? I hear more people, more reports, bladder disease. It's gone up significantly in the last 10 years. So we have more people coming down with, you know, these problems, that doctors kind of tinker with for months and years, and then finally they get a diagnosis, right? Having an ill bladder is very difficult to live with. And there are numerous symptoms, including, you know, crossover symptoms to, maybe even stump your doctor as to what it is you have going on. So the bladder wall has many layers, and there can be problems there located in those layers, and it can be difficult to pinpoint. So unfortunately, with bladder issues, and essentially with things like bladder cancer, modern medicine really doesn't know what the cause is, right? So if you don't know what the cause is, it's kind of hard to cure it, isn't it? So we're going to look at what increases your risk of having bladder problems and avoid them, okay? So what could be involved? Well, the bladder has all these different layers, and most of the problems begin inside the bladder and in the inner wall. It's called the urethelium, and it is a layer that lines the inside of the bladder and also the urethra, or urethra is how it's pronounced, which, you know, is the ductwork in which the urine passes from the kidney to the bladder. So this issue also involves part of your kidneys, and modern medicine has kind of a fallback explanation for bladder disease. It's called inflammation. So the tests the doctors are going to run would include, you know, CT scans, x-rays, bladder scans, a cystoscope, blood tests, which would include the PSA for men, and also urine analysis, as well as a urodynamic test, which kind of measures your bladder's ability to empty. Have you ever had that problem where it doesn't seem like the bladder wants to empty? Well, retention can be an issue, and in a lot of these cases, the bladder disease doctors will tell patients that their bladder is not emptying upon urination, and it's known as urinary retention. And this is a condition affecting both men and women as we get older. Now, often the prostate gets involved with regard to the men, and a prolapsed or bladder position shift with regards to the women. You know, childbearing can make that happen, see. So the congested bowel can also put pressure on the bladder, so that may be a factor. And doctors will do a test to rule out any obstructions like stones, infections, inflammation, nerve problems in the bladder wall, and even, you know, how's the signal between your brain and your bladder? You know, that's going to be important too. However, in a lot of these cases, if it is the drugs the patients are already taking, that could be the cause, right? Long-term urinary retention issues can lead to frequent urinary tract infections, discomfort and pain, urgent feelings to urinate but can't, bloated bellies, difficulty starting a urine stream, weak urine flow, feeling the need to urinate after finishing urinating, and bladder damage and kidney disease. So, not good. Well, let's look at the drug causes for a second, because in some cases, patients are on medications that can cause the retention issues. And thus, you know, our elderly are on many of these drugs, and often they'll develop urinary retention issues, bladder infections, and all kinds of things. Now, usually it is from a combination of medicines the patients are taking at the same time, which we called combatant medications. And this is very common with drugs that produce a lot of side effects and more drugs that are prescribed for the side effects. So combatant medications. So we're going to look for that. And let's give you an example. More than one medication is often used to treat things like heart disease, diabetes, depression, and even infections. So the classes of drugs known to produce a lot of urinary retention issues are going to be your antipsychotic drugs, your antidepressants, drugs for respiratory illnesses, opioid drugs, anesthetics, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, benzodiazepines, which are typically used for drug abuse withdrawal issues and seizures, calcium channel blockers, blood vessel hypertension drugs, as well as drugs for overactive bladder, which are called detrusor relaxants. So overactive bladder drugs can give you retention issues. So patients in these situations will be told by their doctor that they can treat the bladder retention issue with catheterization. Well, I know a lot of people that don't want to do that. I don't want to do catheters, you know? So there are 180 different types of catheters, and 330 million are sold in the United States for various medical reasons. So other than catheterization, the treatment options would be surgery. And for men, it could also involve their prostate. Or maybe a bladder tack. A lot of times women get that where they tack up the bladder. You know, it's out of position. You know, it's prolapsed or whatever. So drug, surgery, or bladder tack are pretty much the option. Other than catheters, it's pretty much the option. Now, in some instances, you know, the bladder may not be emptying because of your brain, okay? So the brain controls many bodily functions, voluntary and involuntary. So if you think too much or you think about something that's stressful or makes you feel anxious or really produces emotional pain, you won't be able to urinate very well. So if you think too much about those things, makes you anxious, the urine stream can be interrupted, and without paying much attention to it, you may think that you've finished, when in fact the urine remains in the bladder. You haven't emptied. Okay? So if your bladder is not emptying, try not thinking of anything. Or think of your favorite song to kind of distract your mind so you can empty the bladder. Sort of like, you know, you ever try to pee when someone's watching you? Sometimes you just can't do that, right? You ever been in the hospital and the nurse brings you the bedpan and she's standing there waiting for you to pee and you can't? Because, you know, she's watching you. Ah. So, you know, sometimes you just need a distraction and you can't think about it. Well, and let's talk about bladder cancer, because this is also kind of in the mix. It can be a factor. Illnesses can actually give cancer an opportunity to rear its ugly head, and bladder cancer kind of entails about 5% of all cancer cases in the U.S. Now, men are 3 times more likely to get bladder cancer than women are. Caucasians are more prone to the disease than other races. and modern medicine really doesn't know what the causes to bladder cancer are. However, research has suggested that certain treatments, foods, beverages can actually increase your risk of developing bladder cancer. So here's a list. Cured or smoked meats or fish, as well as smoking, food preservatives with nitrates, artificial food additives or sweeteners like saccharin, caffeine, and chemotherapy treatments. Well, let's look at some common symptoms that a person may have bladder cancer. There may be indicators. If you got blood in the urine, it may be dark red, pink, or orange, and it could be inconsistent at times. You may have a change in bladder habits, sudden urge to urinate when bladder is really empty, or maybe frequent urination, as well as a burning upon urination, or loss of the ability to even urinate. So if you got blood in the urine, you may have clots, and clots can prevent urination from flowing. Also, there could be swelling of the feet, where you're kind of picking up fluids, and bone pain, loss of appetite, weight loss, or low back pain on one side could be an indicator. Well, let's look at some new research. Research done at the University of Kent in the UK is stating that a lot of bacterial infections may be the cause for bladder urgency, often associated with depression, 42%, and diabetes, 31%. So do you suppose the drugs that these patients are on for those conditions increase their risk of these infections, of incontinence, bladder retention, and cancer? Well, apparently, the bladder issue is in the top 10 complaints from patients suffering from depression and diabetes. So I would say, you know, follow the breadcrumbs. It's the drugs they're on. And however, you know, doctors are associating the problem with just inflammation, a symptom, but not the cause. Well, the drugs can cause that. So the Kent research studied the problem with the inflammation. You know, they studied that, and what was it due to? Was it due to the bacterial infection? Was the infection invading the bladder wall? What was it? So the research did get published in the American Journal of Physiology and Renal Physiology in 2016, and other research in 2012 by the Canadian Medical Association Journal. They also reported that type 2 diabetes medications increase your risk of bladder cancer by 40%. So the researchers reviewed many studies that included 2.6 million patients to publish these findings, you know, metadata. And the study of the 2016 did get published in the British Medical Journal, and it confirmed that the same diabetic drugs are associated with increased risk of bladder cancer. So, ta-da. Here is a quote from Dr. Jeffrey Johnson with the School of Public Health, University of Alberta, Canada. He says, we observed an increased risk of bladder cancer associated with the use of thiazolathionidone. It's a particular drug used to treat diabetes. So, interesting stuff. So the research team at the University of Nottingham in the UK found that there are potential factors involved with regards to the diabetic medications, either alone or in combinations together. And they discovered five key outcomes: blindness, amputation, severe kidney failure, and high and low blood sugar. So according to WebMD, antidepressants cause incontinence, increase or worsen the symptoms of bladder problems, and the drugs prohibit the bladder from contracting, so it can't empty completely, and this can lead to bacterial infections. So, you know, we got some other drugs that can contribute to bladder problems. Let's look at them. It's really no secret that certain prescription medicines can cause bladder problems. If you have bladder problems and are on any of these drugs, you may want to look at some alternatives. Blood pressure medications, your alpha blockers, your vasodilator drugs, they cause urination problems. And if the prostate is enlarged, it will cause benign prostatic hyperplasia. And in women, the drugs can relax the bladder, causing urinary incontinence. Also, your diuretic drugs often prescribed for heart patients, especially for congestive heart failure. Often diuretics are called water pills, and they affect your kidneys directly to reduce the blood pressure by flushing more water and salt out of the system. So diuretics also deplete you of a lot of your magnesium and other essential minerals. Here is a quote from Dr. David Ginsberg. He's a urologist at Kent School of Medicine, University of Southern California, Los Angeles, and he says, if taking a diuretic, you're making more urine. Wow. Well, can't get around that one, can you? So you have choices. Sleeping pills also be warned cause incontinence and bedwetting. So sleeping pills, very much a problem. So, but, you know, we all have choices, and we all can do our homework and be proactive, and it's our health, and nobody's going to look after our health more than we will, because, you know, we have everything to lose. You know, everything's on the line for us, so we have to look after our health as best we can. Yes, you can consult the experts. Yes, you can get a diagnosis and see where you're at. A lot of times that's helpful, and it points you in the direction of a discovery of something you may be able to utilize. So we have to get past the thinking that there's only one way to address health issues, okay? There are many ways, and I prefer organic ones, thank you very much. So a diet, exercise play a huge part in our health. Organic whole foods, even organic medicines, really should be viewed in the same light as organic food versus even your synthetics. So, for example, if you look at the ingredients that are in your vaccines and you put them on a dinner plate, would you want to feed them to your kid? Probably not. You wouldn't want to shoot them into your body either. So prescription drugs are kind of a quick fix, but really they don't address the underlying cause. Therefore, you know, the drug therapies eventually fail along with your system crashing because the weakness has continued to be exacerbated. So personally, if I had trouble sleeping, I would evaluate the diet, my emotions, that may be in causing my insomnia. I might utilize some herbs to help me relax and sleep, and a lot of times it could be a nutritional thing, not having the right calcium for neurotransmitters and some other things. Maybe the thyroid, also an issue with circadian cycle. The thyroid does produce hormones that the brain uses as a neurotransmitter to regulate your sleep cycle, so it could be thyroid. Now, personally, if I had trouble sleeping, I would look at all these things and I would address them one at a time. And while I'm getting to the cause of the problem, I would also use, you know, like valerian root to help me go naturally to sleep, you know, promote natural sleep. If I had heart problems, again, I would do the same thing. Evaluate the lifestyle. Look at the heart issue. Look at what is weakening the cardio system. And then I would look at herbs that strengthen the cardio system. So if I had also kidney bladder issues, same thing. I would avoid the things that agitate and weaken the system, and I'd look at things that would strengthen and cleanse the system. Because when I was in herb school, it hit me. Cleanse and nourish. That's what it is. You get the toxins out that are the blockades for regeneration and healing, and you put the nutrition in as the building blocks for healing. The body heals itself. Sometimes we just got to get out of the way, you know, and let it do its thing. But we have to supply that nutrition for it to do it. Sort of like bullets in a gun. Gun's no use unless you got a bullet. So you got to have nutrition for the healing. So if you had reproductive problems, maybe I would use some herbal system cleanses and some of the male or female herbs to balance that endocrine system that manufactures your hormones. So there's lots of ways to deal with it. You want to remove inflammation. To me, that's a no-brainer. That's willow bark and meadow sweet. And avoid the things that create inflammation, like alcohol, white flour, things like that. So you want to avoid those things. And you can find a lot of this information up on the internet. You can find it by listening to this show. You can find it by reading my book, my newsletters. You can find it. It's there. So you got to be proactive. You just got to take that step. You got to. Sometimes it can be a leap of faith a little bit, but if you pray to God, He'll show you the path. He'll just take your hand and He'll show you the path. He'll never let you down. And He says herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. And He says this all throughout the scripture, so He's making a point. He's making a point. And we already know God is good, and He wants us to be healthy and well. And we also know the devil likes to corrupt everything that God's made. So look at what is strengthening your system and what's not. And if drugs are not strengthening, if they're creating a crutch scenario for your metabolism, eventually that crutch is not going to work. And you're going to have a problem worse than when you started, because you've burned daylight. You've burned the opportunity to try to reverse it and strengthen. So the sooner the better. The sooner, if you got an issue, just don't sit back and say, well, I'll just let my doctor worry about it. They're not worrying about it. They're paid and taught to prescribe. The medical textbooks are published and paid for by the drug companies. They're taught to prescribe. That's what they do. They're not taught to not prescribe. So, if you're looking for professional strength, organic whole food, herbal products that help you cleanse and nourish, then the folks at Apothecary Herbs are the people to call. They have a toll-free number of 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and, of course, the website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Free catalog. Get their free catalog. You'll see the tools. And you know what? You get tools and the information to use them, you know, you get a successful outcome. That's what it's about. So a lot of times it's the knowledge and the tools together that work. And the one thing I've learned as an herbalist is typically it's not one silver bullet that gets you back. It's usually a combination of things. So it's addressing the lifestyle. It's avoiding the things that got you into that predicament. And it's using a lot of your herbs that will strengthen a lot of medicinal properties. And, you know, herbs tend to have bitter alkaloids in them. And the ones that are the most bitter are the ones with the most power. Confucius said, the bitter herbs are real medicine. Real medicine always tastes bitter, is what he was saying. And I know your taste buds are used to the sweet things, but you're just going to have to, you know, put your dose in some juice or water and just take it. My kids, when they were little, would ask me why the herbs taste so yucky. So I gave them this explanation. A strawberry sweet, and it's a nutritional food. You need a lot of it. The herbs are bitter. They're a medicinal food, and God only wants you to have a little bit of it. They're so powerful, just a little bit. So that makes total sense, doesn't it? Bitter and hot. Yeah. So use common sense. Be smart. Do your research. Always investigate every therapy, every prescription, everything that's been recommended to you. Be satisfied by doing your homework on it, taking it to the Lord, and He'll open a way for you to understand. And He's always done it for me, you know. So thepowerherbs.com is really about putting powerful tools in your hand, putting the knowledge there so that you can get balanced and back. Because that's what a cure is. The medical definition of a cure is putting you back to original wellness, okay? And how many of you out there feel like you've been put back to original wellness if you're taking drugs for life? Right? And a majority of the drugs for life are just symptom management tools. They're not really addressing the cause of the problem. So it's not normal. I know it's common, but it's not normal. And, you know, we've been conditioned to think, oh, it's normal. You know, as you get older, you know, this is not going to work anymore. This, you're going to have some problems here and there. It's common, but it's not normal. If we open our Bibles and we look at Scripture, we see the patriarchs of the Bible were much older than we are, and they could still go to battle. They were hardy. They were healthy. Moses was over 100 and he had eyes that were not dim. He didn't have cataracts. He didn't have macular degeneration. He didn't have diabetes. He didn't have any of that. And a lot of it's lifestyle. So we have to do more today than they did, because we have so many things that are so polluted and so corrupted, GMOs and everything else. So we have to work harder. It's almost like having a part-time job just to look after your health, but it's worth it. Either, you know, do that. Spend the time. Spend the money doing that, or you're gonna be giving it to the doctor and waiting in the waiting room. And I think it's outrageous, some of the prices that people are paying for treatments now. So snake bite, six figures, ridiculous. Anyway, go to thepowerherbs.com, get a free catalog, and just see what tools you'll have at your disposal. And jump on the website, thepowerherbs.com, and sign up for the newsletters. They're free under the Books and Newsletters tab, and you can get health information like this each and every week and share it with family and friends. So it's all about empowerment. We help one another. We pass it on. And be well out there. I can see by the clock I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.